even in the most kind of forward-thinking agencies, I encountered a lot of arbitrary silos, you know, distinctions between, oh, your title dictates this is what you're going to do and this is the lane that you stick in, which just is frustrating. That was one of the things that made me really question if I would ever go back to the agency world. There was something very empowering about knowing that I actually own part of the company, right? There's a sense of maybe meaning, or maybe that my voice counts a little bit more because I'm responsible for the success because I own a piece of it.
What's up and welcome to Sweathead with Mark Pollard. I have Tatiana Peck here today. We used to work with each other. Tatiana was born in Barcelona, and boy, do you share photos of Barcelona when you go to Barcelona to make us all feel jealous, Tatiana. A little bit of preemptive feedback there. Tatiana currently finds herself exploring the great digital frontier as the strategy and insights lead at Facebook's Creative Shop, developing data-backed creative solutions at scale that sit at the intersection of people, culture, and technology. We first met each other at Big Spaceship, where Tatiana most recently worked before Facebook. So she's had a good stint at Facebook. Tatiana was a strategy director at Big Spaceship, where she led a variety of new business pitches and client accounts, including Purina, I remember that, Google Play, Chobani, and AOL, while establishing internal mentorship and collaboration best practices. Tatiana, one of the most heartfelt people I've ever worked with, welcome to Sweathead.
Thank you. I'm so very happy to be here. I share pictures of Barcelona whenever I can because it keeps me closer to home. So I will not apologize for that.
You shouldn't. But it's really obnoxious, especially when the weather sucks in New York. It's like, Tatiana, turn it down. Don't need to see you having the best life ever. Yeah. Just a bit of feedback again, two pieces of feedback before we've even got into questions. We're going to talk about two topics today. One I think is going to be kind of practical from a career point of view, and that is, like, what's it like moving from an agency to a, we'll call it a social/tech platform to do strategy. But we're actually going to start by talking about the vibe right now, the energy right now. You used the word languishing before we pressed record. Where are you at right now?
Oh man. So I first heard the term languishing when it came out earlier this year in a New York Times article by Adam Grant, who's this awesome organizational psychologist, who, by the way, if you ever need like good little nuggets of how to navigate work life and how to stand up for yourself emotionally in the workspace, follow him on Instagram. I always find something really valuable. But in reading this piece, it gave a word to this feeling of meh that I've been feeling very acutely this past year. It really hit me at the beginning, January, February. I live in Brooklyn. I don't do well with long winters. And I realized that I had never fully experienced a winter New York until this year in the pandemic, because we weren't traveling, we weren't vaccinated. And I started to feel the beginnings of burnout. And it was burnout at work. I felt less motivated. I cared less, which is, if you know me, what you do, Mark, is not generally my MO. And I did something that I've never done in my career, which is I asked for time off. I actually took 6 weeks mental leave, which was hard to even ask for. And actually remember, I was up in Connecticut. I don't know if you remember our great friend, Nick Dandakis, a developer that at Big Spaceship. We're very close friends. My husband, Dave, and I, and our new little puppy went to spend a few weeks up there just to change the scenery, get a different perspective. And it was Valentine's Day, the least romantic Valentine's Day I've ever had. As great friends do, he started to prod me because I was starting to get a lot of anxiety about the idea of going back to work. And he's like, just take some time, ask for it. So Sunday night, I reach out to my manager, I text him, and I'm just like, yo, I'm so sorry, but I don't think I can come back. I think I need a little time. And Facebook's great for this. There's a lot of great services for employees, whether it was COVID leave or mental leave. And I took it. I took 6 weeks to be the most depressed I've been in a really long time, wallow a little bit, be sad, feel my feelings. and then try to get to a place where I felt like I could jump back in and try to be productive and useful. The interesting thing is those feelings haven't really gone away. They're not as acute as they were, but it's become a little bit of a daily battle. And so I've been trying to really get back to basics of what are the small things that bring me joy. It's been great to get vaccinated and to feel like I have a little bit of protection and that I can go out into the world and be safe. I've traveled, I've gone to Barcelona to see my family. But being at home and doing the day-to-day, I end up feeling like I'm living a little bit of a groundhog day. And I realize that I still haven't fully mourned the death of my old life.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of 2020 was going to be like the best year ever. I had gotten back from this incredible vacation with Dave, my husband, and his family. We went to China for the very first time to kick off the year. Then I had work travel. I went to Tel Aviv for the first time. I was traveling. I had projects. Things were going great. And then the pandemic hit. And it's been this year and a half long journey of mourning this identity I had started to really, really appreciate of being this global traveler and getting to go to different places to work, but also to explore. And the death of that has been very hard to reconcile.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. If you think back through the past couple of decades for you, what's your baseline? And I'll go first on this just to make you feel safe. And we do know each other, and I'd like to nudge into the things we know about each other, but I wouldn't want to take advantage of the fact that we've had, you know, long conversations about things. But like, I know like my baseline is kind of neutral to melancholic, right? And so it's quite easy if I'm not feeling productive, which is a dangerous word, if I'm not feeling active, I can slip quite quickly into, you know, this sometimes gentle melancholy and sometimes this unnecessarily aggressive melancholy. What's your baseline?
Effervescent is my baseline. I'm generally a very bubbly, passionate, which can maybe, I don't know, I get the color red manifest there, but generally I'm a pretty optimistic person. That's my starting baseline, which maybe this is you prodding what you know about me, but that's made it all the harder because that has not been the baseline recently. And being in that positive space without it being toxic has been difficult to achieve on a daily basis.
So these are pretty new feelings, because a lot of people deal with these feelings for a lot of their lives, right? But for you, these are pretty new feelings?
New feelings as of recently. I don't know if you recall back to my very early days at Big Spaceship. I was going through some major life changes. A relationship ended. I was starting a new job. I felt completely out of my depth. And so there's a little bit of, you know, hearkening back to those days. But I also, this feels different though. This doesn't, I mean, yes, actually, maybe it is another massive life change. And, you know, maybe coming up on 5 years full time at Facebook is another one of those moments when I need to kind of reevaluate what comes next. But this feels different because this feels like so many of the things, the forces that are affecting me are completely out of my control.
Hmm. Let me play a voice in your head and I want to hear you respond. Yeah, but Tatiana, you've got a really good job in one of the world's, you know, most influential companies in one of the world's most impressive cities that so many people wish they could have.
Yeah, I am grateful. But look, there's another kind of term that I became familiar with this past year and a half, which is the notion of comparative suffering. And the reality is, yes, I'm beyond blessed and lucky. I am surrounded by people who love me, who appreciate me. I have a job, which a lot of people can't say they do. But this is, I'm also suffering, right? I'm also going through experiences like never before. And for me, it's been important to be gentle with myself and to respect where I am and to be okay with not being okay, which is the hardest thing because I would just love to move forward to the next thing. But that's just not where I am. So what I have found that has been the most helpful. So I've started to try to like journal a little bit every day, which sometimes that's writing feelings. Other times it's sketching the latte that I bought in the morning that got me out of the apartment.
Mm-hmm. How did you spend your 6 weeks mental leave?
Well, in sweatpants and did try something new. I started trying to paint, which I'm not an artist, and generally that's not been my go-to form of self-expression. But I started watching some old episodes of Bob Ross, and I was inspired by how joyful he was with simple things, little happy trees. And so I actually started to paint a little bit. Again, had the luxury of being at Nick's place up in Connecticut, a house, had a beautiful view of trees and snow, and then just spent a lot of time enjoying the company of my husband and my dog. But I didn't do anything quote unquote productive. What I realized was that what I hadn't been allowing myself to do was to be sad. And the pressure of all these Zoom calls and meetings, and every time someone asked, hey, how are you doing? And realizing that there was so much I wanted to say, and I just had to say fine, and I was not fine. Those 6 weeks were really about crying when I needed to cry, you know, stuffing my face with cookies because that felt good, and frankly, wallowing a little bit, giving myself the space to do so.
Mm. Okay. And then final question before we move into the more directly career oriented part of this is like, how did you go about re-acclimatizing to work again?
So what made it maybe extra, maybe not hard, but an added context was that I had just joined a new team at the beginning of the year. I moved to a marketing science research team within Creative Shop. So I was intimately familiar with everyone on the team. We've been working together for years, but this was a decently big change for me. And so I had the luxury of still being new to the team, which allowed me a little bit of time to figure out, you know, what my priorities were for the half and what I was going to focus on. But I just took a lot of time to kind of catch up and listen to what folks were working on, what were the problems and challenges they were facing, to try to find the spaces in which I could slowly reintegrate myself. I also set pretty strict working hours. You know, it's really easy when you're home all day to, you know, be on work chat, to check emails. And I realized that what was lacking in this new normal was that structure that commuting had afforded me, that going to the office had afforded me. So I tried to incorporate some of that structure in my day to day, you know.
Mm. Okay. Light at the end of the tunnel. How are you feeling?
I am feeling better, and I'm proud of myself for being able to look back at each day and be like, oh, look, that was a little bright spot. You know, not everything is a hellfire. Given that, if you haven't realized by now, travel is very important to me. I've planned a trip for the end of October to work from Puerto Rico because I've never been. So just trying to like have little things to look forward to, and that can change my environment a little bit. That's a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel.
It's good to hear. Good to hear. Thank you for sharing. I think a lot of people will see themselves in what you have shared. And sometimes that's just enough. That's enough to get through to the next day, right? So thank you. Tell us a little bit about that leap you made from the agency world to Facebook. Why did you make that leap? I'm sure you had other choices. And I know that sometimes companies like Facebook, they put people on, you know, temporary contracts so you can feel each other out. Tell us about the first year or two as you were making the decision to kind of commit for a longer term situation.
Yeah. So I had left Big Spaceship after 4 years there. I was ready for something new, but I didn't know what it was going to be. So I gave myself the summer to kind of have a little sabbatical, travel, enjoy what the work week looks like in New York when you don't have to go into the office. And then I had at that summer aspirations to potentially do freelance. I was curious about what that would look like. I wasn't entirely sure I wanted to go back to an agency. And a old friend of mine reached out, let me know that there was a contractor opportunity because someone on the team was going on paternity leave. So that piqued my interest. And yeah, I joined as a contractor in August 2016. And it was such a fresh perspective and opportunity. I was hired to bring my full self to the job. It wasn't a strategy role, it was a creative strategist role. And so in my day-to-day, I got to flex my creative muscles, which is something that I think a lot of us as strategists feel uncomfortable doing, especially sometimes in an agency environment where you have obviously a very strong creative department and perspective. And this was a place where I was able to bring some of that creative problem solving into art and copy. And I am not an art director, I'm not a copywriter, but it felt really good to be able to flex my skills in a variety of different ways. But what I realized over the 4-month contract was that inevitably I was seeing opportunities to really infuse strategy and research to connect with the data scientists on the team. Yeah, after 4 months, I was curious to see if there were other opportunities, but then I was offered full time and I really enjoyed the diversity of people on the team, so smart from so many different walks of life, from, you know, not all agency folks. And the type of work was so varied and different. You know, I was working with an array of clients, big businesses all the way to small mom and pop shops. And that was kind of very interesting. I think the thing that I enjoy is variety in work. There's benefits to both, right? The breadth and the depth. I mean, obviously, like back in the days when leading Purina, it was great to build those relationships with clients and really understand the ins and the outs. But at the same time, I always really gravitated towards new business because I liked the idea of coming in quick and having fresh perspectives. I think when you work on a piece of business for a long time, it's really easy to lose objectivity. You get kind of steeped in the culture very easily.
Variety, novelty seeking, you've expressed enjoying travel and, you know, I think you're into food and different people and experiences, et cetera. Like, that's just part of who you are. Did you ever have a phase of your career where you second guessed that, where you thought maybe I've got to be the person who stays on this one brand or this one thing for a very, very long time?
It definitely feels like there's an element of expertise that comes from investing in the depth of a project, but everything's relative. I consider myself to have jumped around a decent amount. You know, I studied sociology in undergrad and then went into fashion. And then from fashion, got into advertising, worked at a small startup and then Big Spaceship in digital and then Facebook and tech. So I don't know. I don't think I've necessarily felt the pressure to go deep in that way. But I'll say, I think I got some of that experience from Big Spaceship and working with clients for years at a time. But now I think my role within Facebook and Creative Shop provides a different angle of depth because I have a much different perspective on the advertising or creative industry than I ever could have had working at an agency. All of a sudden, you begin to see patterns across businesses, across audiences, across categories that aren't necessarily as readily available when you're within the category from a client's perspective.
So you mentioned at least two things in there about what attracted you to Facebook or what you discovered you enjoyed on the job. One was flexing your skills in different ways, especially creative skills. And then you talked about the array of clients and especially having a breadth of client. I'm sure in that first year or two, you might have had approaches from agencies, from recruiters. You might have contemplated going back into an agency. You know, why didn't you?
Ownership. One of the things I struggled with on the agency side, and probably this is the influence of having had a father who started his own business and who very much pushed this notion of employee-owned, you know, one worker, one vote. This mentality very much shaped me growing up. And I'm someone who tends to bring more than what is asked for in my day-to-day, right? I'm invested in the culture. I'm invested in the people. I care and want to care about not just the task at hand, but everything that helps contribute to an environment of inclusivity and transparency and productivity and collaboration. And so in working at the agencies that I worked at, I found that that was leveraged, but not necessarily rewarded or appreciated in a demonstrable way. And so when I left both of the agencies that I worked at, I felt like I had given more potentially than what I had received in that exchange. And there was something very empowering about knowing that working at a place like Facebook, I actually own part of the company, right? There's a sense of maybe meaning, or maybe that my voice counts a little bit more because I'm responsible for the success because I own a piece of it. But that was one of the things that made me really question if I would ever go back to the agency world. I think the other thing too, even in the most kind of forward-thinking agencies, I encountered a lot of arbitrary silos, distinctions between, oh, your title dictates this is what you're going to do and this is the lane that you stick in, which just is frustrating. And a place like Creative Shop, where everyone's title is creative strategist at the core, everyone's responsible for thinking creatively and thinking strategically around, you know, the book of business or clients or part of the company that you're responsible for. I really appreciated that because, again, it allows all of us to bring whatever you have to solve the problem at hand versus being relegated to your own lane or title. So those, I think, are two major things that have dissuaded me at this stage anyway for looking back at the agency side of things.
Okay. What are the counterpoints to either those two points you mentioned, which are having a sense of ownership or actually having ownership, but also feeling that your voice counts more, one point, and then arbitrary silos where I think a lot of strategy folk struggle with this, where they feel that they're creative, they feel that they can do creative work. And it's not that they're necessarily a copywriter or an art director, but at some point the strategy work stops and other people take it over. And then sometimes your job is to help their ideas get through. And that can actually mean that you delete everything you've done because their ideas don't even connect to what you've done. So that can send people through a bit of a spiral, right? What are the counterpoints to, like, how would you argue against what you just said? Or why would someone like you consider going back into an agency?
What a great question. I don't think anyone's asked me this before. From my perspective, there's a lot of value in being a right-hand entity to clients and brands. There's never been a more complex time to be a brand and to figure out how and where to connect with your audience. So I actually think it's extremely valuable for brands to have a creative entity that are the experts in that space. So I think there's a lot of value from that perspective. From an ownership perspective, I think potentially maybe it's time for agencies to kind of reconsider their business model and how they're built. You know, why can't employees have a share of the company, or why can't they own a part of it? Obviously, folks in power never want to give up power, but I think there's something very powerful about the collective ownership model, cooperative, whatever you want to call it. So there's always, I think, a chance to innovate in that space. And that's not something I've necessarily seen too much of in the agency world.
If you spend your days trying to get into people's heads, but are interested in strategy classes, books, and events that get into your head, visit sweathead.com. You can pick up the Kickstarter-funded book, Strategy Is Your Words, by me. Find out about our monthly membership, online classes, and the company training that we do. Yes, this was an ad, a gentle ad. Back to the interview. So that assumes you can get into an agency. Well, part of what you just said assumes you can get into an agency where you can be that right hand, right? Because a lot of agencies I talk to a lot, they don't feel that they're necessarily the right hand, and even sometimes the marketing team doesn't feel like it's the right hand of its own company. So there's a lot of de-right handing going on right now, right? So how can you even work this out? Let's say someone spent a few years in the industry and they're starting to diagnose what they like and what they don't like. You got to work out whether the things you want actually exist in there. And sometimes it can take 6 months in a company to realize that they do or do not exist. What kind of advice would you give to someone who's trying to work these things out when they have a stronger sense of self and a stronger sense of what they want in life and in their work when they're going through that interview process.
Maybe this might be basic, but I think one of the first things I would say is to try to get an understanding of how decisions get made. You know, with every year that I've been at Facebook, we've grown in size. And as nimble as small teams are, there's hierarchy and there's a lot of steps to take for decisions to be made. So I think that at least from an understanding of what are the potential roadblocks in the way of getting something launched or made or decided, I think that's an important place to start. I think I would also encourage folks to look at how much young talent is in the place that they're interested in. I find, I don't know if this is your experience, Mark, but I think so from, well, how you design the Do Together, all the topics that I've seen you discuss on your podcasts and across Sweathead. Strategy is really, really hard to break into early on. I think it requires a lot of mentorship and guidance, folks sharing the experiences they've had so that you can better understand how to navigate. And I would say that that's a good indicator of what your ability to kind of grow throughout the organization might be. I don't know if this starts to answer your question.
I think so. I guess you just got to have smart questions and hope that the person responding will answer with a level of honesty, because these things are really hard to work out. You know, I know that I made decisions and contemplated similar shifts as the one that you've made. And I got to the point where I distrusted nearly everything that most people said. And I would go into a company and go, I want to look over your shoulder at the work you're doing. Because yeah, I can see the work up on the wall, but I know it's not what you do most of the time. Like, it really got to that point in the last couple of years before I decided to do my own thing.
No, totally. And I guess big piece of advice is if you're set up in a way where, you know, you can freelance, you can work on a project, that, I mean, that beats anything anyone can tell you in any interview or any materials. Actually being able to test it out is huge advantage. Because look, no place is perfect, right? So like, this isn't about trying to find the perfect place to work, because that does not exist. So yeah, the more that you can try it out, I think that's ideal.
A lot of the tech platforms have had pretty big shifts in their kind of creative marketing strategy setup. You know, sometimes there's a lab and it lasts for 5 years and it's kind of connected to product, and then it shifts to marketing, and then it's in between, and then it gets disbanded, and then another thing gets launched. And all the time, a lot of the marketers aren't that close to product because the engineers are in control of product. And so like, it can be quite confusing, I think, for people to potentially settle down. What's been your experience just from an organizational point of view and a structural point of view?
Oh, my goodness. Well, talk about variety. Facebook is unlike any place I have ever worked before. There are so many different teams, and Creative Shop sits within the sales organization, right? But so much of what we do is contingent upon the consumer product facing side of the org. Like, the ads products don't live in a vacuum. They live obviously within your feed, within stories. They live intermingled with the consumer experience. So a big portion of my time is spent partnering with, selling to, convincing cross-functional organizations and teams to join me in whatever pursuits I have, whatever ambitions I have. So it's complex, but it's also a very weirdly rewarding way to flex strategy skills that I think don't necessarily seem like they're obviously strategy skills, but, you know, putting together a pitch, understanding the needs and the goals of the team, what's on their roadmap and timeline, how can I show that what I'm asking them to collaborate with me on is actually going to help them in the long run. So it really taps into interpersonal dynamics. It also requires a lot of understanding how decisions are made across different orgs, because all teams are set up differently and they change a lot. There's a lot of constant reorging within the company. You kind of get used to change. Which can be really, really tiring, to be honest with you, but also a bit freeing, because you know that folks are going to come in and out, and you're going to have to learn how to very quickly adapt to a new normal or to a new mission or to a new set of priorities. It does also show the importance of making allies and friends within the organization, folks that you know that you can ask questions of to give you the intel on, hey, so-and-so just joined. What do you know about them? How should I approach them?
The question that I wanted to ask was, is there more bureaucracy? But I don't think that question makes sense by itself without more words, such as, is the bureaucracy a different kind and is it more tolerable than what you might have experienced? Because yes, you could be in a freewheeling agency that doesn't have a lot of bureaucracy internally, but yeah, you go to a company, a massive company who's your client, all of a sudden you're hitting bureaucracy. It's almost unavoidable, I think, in 2021. How would you describe the type of bureaucracy and especially how it's different to your time in agencies?
There's just more. There's just more organizations. There's more complexity. And I think also, this organization is under pressure to move and adapt very quickly, which sometimes can feel like at odds with that bureaucracy. You know, on one hand, done is better than perfect is a big internal mantra, but then also there are very, very high standards for work and what we put out into the world. And also, you know, we're global. I mean, we're touching brands of all sizes. So there's bureaucracy, to your point, internal with different teams, but then we are in the same place as an agency in terms of encountering a client's bureaucracy. You know, sometimes what's been fascinating to see is how different client organizations are structured and how that hinders the best possible creative solution that we might be recommending. I think it's probably just a bureaucracy on steroids, but there's at least for me, there's been a very big learning curve and education that's come from it. I think it's made me a lot better at selling myself and my work. And it's also opened up a lot of perspectives into different parts of the business that I potentially didn't really understand or know about. So I think there's a silver lining to all of that.
Yeah, because I mean, you can describe the pros and cons of both the agency and the non-agency to be simplistic binary there. It's a very grabby Venn diagram, that one, but you could explain the pros and cons in ways that are going to be attractive to you because you might be trading more bureaucracy for less volatility. And sometimes that volatility can be exhausting unless you're a sprinter and you like it, you know, depends on what you're into. But let me give you a final kind of simplistic question. If somebody's thinking about making a change, especially from agency to some kind of strategy or creative strategist role, let's go with a tech platform, right? A social media platform. Could you give them any advice about how to approach that decision?
Yes. I think if what your goal is or what's important to you is to be a hero, and I don't mean that in any disparaging way, I don't think working at a big tech company or social media platform is necessarily the right place because, you know, we have to partner, as we should, with other creative agencies, ad agencies, and we're not necessarily the ones coming up with the big campaign idea or even the big strategy. You know, we are here to represent the platform, to understand the behaviors, how people are using the platform, you know, what cultural trends are emerging, et cetera. But that's not the only space that brands are going to, you know, advertise or market. And so we are one of many in the space, which frankly, I think especially for creatives can be a bit of a shift. You know, you represent a platform, you don't necessarily represent this creative POV or legacy or anything like that. So I think that probably one thing to take into consideration. But to bring it back to what we were talking about earlier, I think, you know, some of the pros there are the variety of work. So look, when I started at Facebook and Creative Shop, I was part of the financial services vertical. I did not necessarily have any strong interest in FS, but it became very fascinating. And what I appreciated the most was realizing that as I worked with a variety of clients, I was starting to identify certain patterns within their business or where they were potentially missing the mark in connecting with audiences. And so my perspective started to elevate to the category level. Now where I work within Creative Shop is not on a particular vertical. I'm on a global team. And now what I do is I package up creative strategies based on not just financial services, but multiple business challenges that we see across verticals, across markets. Variety and a shift of perspective is definitely something that I think you gain when coming to, you know, a social platform, a tech platform. But again, it's different, right? Like talking about ownership, I have less ownership over audiences that maybe as a strategist on Beggin' Strips, I would have felt, you know, like ownership and connection to the dog parent community. Now I get to dip in and dip out of so many communities, so many perspectives, so many challenges. So I don't think there's a wrong or a right, but for me, where I am, this has been a very interesting and valuable shift for me in my career because of the things that I've always been interested in. You know, I've always been very interested in organizational strategy, the how we work being just as important as the what we're working on. So for example, right now I'm in the midst of designing a learning experience for all of Creative Shop around strategy and insights, which is a funny place to be in after so many years as a strategist. But in really thinking about how do I make this craft and this discipline just that much more approachable to folks who don't have a strategy background, but who wear the creative strategist, you know, title and have that responsibility. And that's not something I necessarily would have been able to do agency side. I mean, maybe, but there's far less of an encouragement to work on the mortar, the things in between client projects and retainers and the things that make money for the business.
I hear you. I think part of it is just because what you've been talking about is your story to yourself about how you make an impact. And so any change as far as going to a different kind of agency or a different kind of company, if you've done strategy before, you need to work out the story that you've been telling yourself. You know, my silly story is we just wrote briefs and amazing work happened in Australia. You know, sorry about that world, because that's definitely my story in my head. And then I came to New York and I was like, oh, I don't know if this works the same anymore. What's all that about? And now the story I tell myself is, it's through training of strategy that is a lot of the way that I spend my days is really meaningful, because strategy is a front door to get to a deep part of people, right? Especially people who do strategy. So I just wanted to sort of throw my little story in there because people are wanting to make an impact. There's no point just thinking for the sake of thinking. And then you get 10 years into it and you're like, man, nothing's happened. What am I doing? And so as people are exploring the different kinds of roles they can take, be really aware of the kind of impact that you want to make, because otherwise you'll get seduced by anything, right? And everybody who wants you to work for them is there to seduce you to want what they're selling. Mini speech to end, Tatiana. If people want to track you down, where's the best place?
Yeah, Instagram or my email, tatianapeck@gmail.com. But I think you have higher hopes for me than I do of myself. I know you don't want to open up the barrage of mentorship requests, but it is something I am very interested in. And in the spirit of trying to be in the present moment and find joys in the everyday, after last week's Sweathead Do Together, I was inspired to think differently about my role within the larger strategy community. And I got a lot of joy out of just talking to strangers last week, hearing about issues that frankly feel very universal, but that make me feel good to hear them, because it's like, oh my God, me too. So in a world where I feel personally quite disconnected from life, I think I'm looking for some more connection. And I realize that even if I'm not working right now on a particular client, and maybe that makes my work slightly less relatable to an agency strategist, there's so much that I've learned and experienced, and that by sharing that, there might be a great value exchange there. And I have so much to learn and to be inspired by. So yeah, if anyone wants to have a chat, a virtual coffee, I'm super down.
Awesome. Careful what you ask for. I would say that if you're going to take Tatiana up on that, that you take responsibility for how you interact with Tatiana, that in reaching out to Tatiana and in possibly seeking ongoing or short-term mentorship, that you are not getting someone to work for you for free, that you need to be conscious of what you need help with and to be aware of the questions and to not just reach out to her as a possible way into Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Be legit. Oh, I just got a little cranky there on
I
your behalf.
I appreciate it.
It's okay. I did preemptive feedback at the start, and now I'm doing preemptive warnings of people around mentorship. Tatiana, really appreciate you being here today. May you continue to work your way through the post-languishing or the almost post-languish vibes that you're going through. But yes, most importantly, thank you for being here on Sweater today.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciated this. If I'm allowed to be proud of you, I very much am. It's incredible to see what you've done with Sweathead and how many people you've reached and the conversations that you are inciting. So thank you.
I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. All right. Take care, Tatiana. Peace. Thank you for listening to this episode of Sweathead. If it's your first time here, please subscribe. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a friend or leave a kind rating. For more information about our strategy, classes, events, and books, visit www.sweathead.com. And yes, you can find us on Instagram at sweathead.